You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and
gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
John Peterson.
Party. Young.
Wow. I love the record scratching stuff. You know, it's always hard to get that effect.
Well, yeah, especially now since turntables don't hardly exist.
I know. You must have done extensive research to get that,
or a
turntable.
I did. Yes, both.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
Good morning.
It is an awful morning. You got to dig your car out. If you park your car outside, it's just a nightmare. You know, I snowblowed around it, so
right.
I snowblowed on it, I guess.
You used the snowblower last night,
I did, right? I did, yeah.
But you didn't take the snow off your car?
I did not. I forgot.
I forgot to take it off.
Yeah, I know. It was like two layers because it just kept snowing after, you know, I snowblowed. And so now there's another inch out there, but screw it, you know. That's what I'm telling my neighbors right now. Screw it.
What do they have to do about
it? At least you didn't have to dig yourself out, like, out of snow with an ice scraper. I think I've told
that
story.
You've done
that. I told that story on the show once before.
That's right.
Because I went in the ditch, and I was late for work, and I tried to use an ice scraper as a shovel.
And that didn't work. You broke it, right?
No, yeah, it did break, okay. Yeah.
Mm. Right. Yeah, it's not a good thing. I do it my neighbors as well.
That's nice. They
throw me a few cents.
Do they?
So I can help them out. And
they throw coins on the ground?
Yeah. In the snow. So I do this front sidewalk, you know, and in the driveway for all three of us.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little extra
it's
work
a joint
for you.
Driveway.
You, the boys get involved? The young guys live in your
the
house?
The boys?
Yeah. Your sons?
My sons?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, did they help you out?
I don't remember.
Do either one of them know how to do the snow throw?
Actually, we have foisted everything off onto my younger son, Brett, who's 22. He seems to be more talented at all this. Cole is much more talented at avoiding all of this.
I see.
He just got a GPU, a graphics card for his computer, and he installed that the other day in the kitchen because it's brighter in the kitchen. And now we've got boxes and bubble wrap and everything else sitting around the countertops. He could put some of that stuff away.
You know?
He's been glued to his screen ever since. Huh?
Yeah. Well, now he loves that thing. It's gigantic. This graphics card is like three slots thick. So, you know, the slots in the back of your computer. It's three of those.
So what does that mean? It just has superpowers?
It means
superpower.
It's got triple the power.
It's superpower.
So very fast.
Yeah.
And that helps out how?
I think it's a 4080 or 5080, something like that, NVIDIA.
And why does he need that kind of graphics power?
A lot of the software games out there online require this kind of card or at least this kind of power. So the graphic capabilities.
Excellent.
And it works out really well for him. You know, he paid for it. And we went down to Chicago, I told you.
Yeah.
I didn't go down, but Ann did with Cole, and they got this card, and it works.
Very cool. Yeah, I did a little bit of snow shoveling last night, a couple of sidewalks.
You got the corner, boy. That's
I got
not
the
a
corner,
good one.
Yeah. And it's tough because there's a hill. And
yeah.
People are constantly walking through there anyway to get to the bus stop and to Barrique's, which is right at the other corner. And, so I got it mostly, you know, pretty well taken care of. But
salted?
I have that slope. No, I didn't salt it. People are on their own. Screw it.
It's a hill.
Yeah. It's fine. Anyway,
they can do the old slide down the hill.
I have bigger things to do. I have to shovel my slanted driveway. It has an angle to it up into the little garage there.
Yeah.
And it's weird. The other day with the ice was happening. That was really hard to do.
How'd you do that?
Well,
you're going to have to get a bucket or at least a bag of salt.
Oh, I do have it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I just use it sparingly. I don't want to overload the salt, you know, because, you know, it's for the lakes.
That's good.
Stuff.
That's very conscious of the lake water that we have.
Yeah.
I do it, too, very sparingly. You don't need a lot.
You don't need a lot. Right.
It melts and then it, you know, spreads out.
It's still there. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then last night, I went with my friend Kurt. He came down from Sauk City, and we went to go see Eddie Ninevolt at High Noon Saloon. Eddie Ninevolt, interesting guy.
Really?
Had a nice little band. Yeah. Went out last night, and it was a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Atlanta, Georgia, Eddie Ninevolt and his band. And
Where was that again?
High Noon Saloon.
High Noon, okay.
Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah, well, a number of times. Yeah. You and I have been there.
That's true.
There's a photo of us in there.
Is there?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Not
in High Noon Saloon like they would really, you know, cherish
it. I think it was for St. Paddy's Day last year.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Sam took it, right? I think it was did you bring your Polaroid?
I may have. I don't remember. Yeah.
No, I think you did because I wouldn't have the photo if you didn't.
Yeah. So anyway. It was a good time last night. I didn't stay for the whole show. I was like, you know, I got to
You don't
get
stay
up
for early. The whole movies. You don't stay for the
no,
whole show.
No, I cut out early.
Well, once that's good. You know, they start early now because everybody goes to bed early.
Well,
you know, all the seniors go out to see concerts. The young kids don't.
I wish they had started earlier. It started with a warm-up band at 8 o'clock.
Oh, no.
And then I stayed through, you know, then Eddie Ninevolt came out.
What is Eddie Ninevolt?
He's a guitar player.
Oh, okay.
With a backup band, basically. And
cover songs?
No, all original stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was good.
Great.
Fun times.
All right.
But then good I had
times.
To leave.
Good times.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side. Or go to Verlo.com. Do we have the National Day Calendar?
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Sam. What is it or is it not? Hang on a second. Is it National Tortellini Day?
Yes.
National Cheddar Day?
Yes.
National Giving Hearts Day?
Yes.
National Galentine's Day? Galentine's Day or National Hiccup Day.
It's not Hiccup Day.
Very observant of you.
Okay.
You get a shiny new dime.
Would we celebrate hiccups?
I think we should. You know, some people walk around hiccuping all the time.
Man, that's awful.
Yeah,
when you can't get rid of it, you start freaking out thinking you'll have to go to the emergency room or at least, you know, urgent care.
There have been those stories where people can't stop at all.
Yeah, and they die.
What. Yeah, wow.
They die.
Well, okay. not immediately, unfortunately. Well, whatever.
What a way to go.
I know.
Okay.
Speaking of ways to go, you know, I came across a story this morning. Yeah. This woman who was on a safari, and she was chased by a hippopotamus.
Those things are vicious, aren't they?
Yes, they get angry. That's what they say. Very territorial.
Yeah.
And this thing picked her up with his mouth and crushed her head and body.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm still trying to work my way through.
Thanks for sharing.
Why did I read the story and why did I pass it along to you?
Yes.
Oh,
right.
My God. Well, she died. Yeah, never mind.
So you're taking trip to Africa next month, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, her husband is suing the touring company.
Who's he suing?
But,
they
have disclaimers. They have disclaimers saying, you know, it's a dangerous territory. You know, we can't take responsibility for everybody out there.
Like
she miscalculated how fast this hippopotamus
was. It's like the kind of people that in Yellowstone or whatever go up 20 feet away from a buffalo to take a picture.
That's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Galentine's Day. What do you think that is, John?
I don't know. Drinking gallons of something?
No. This brings women together to celebrate each other every day the day before Valentine's Day. Women all have one friend. That
Why
one
didn't
friend
I think of that? Why?
Who cheers on her female companions.
Oh.
She is their best supporter, their listener, their companion. No matter what, she has your back. She's the lady who celebrates ladies. The day is the kind of day that women would like to throw a party, and they should on Valentine's Day. It's a pre-Valentine's Day.
You haven't convinced me at all.
How to observe Valentine's Day.
But the thing is, women stay in contact with each other all the time. They don't have special days for doing this stuff. Mm. You know, women are good at that. Guys,
guys don't care.
No.
Host a Galentine's Day party, it says. Create special Galentine's recipes and cocktails. Have a dance party.
They're really desperate to try to make this a real holiday.
Give each other a pep talk. TED Talk. I guess it's been happening for some time, according to this. 2010, during the sixth season of the comedy Parks and Recreation, character Leslie, that's Amy Poehler, throws an annual Galentine's Day party for her girlfriend. So it all started with a TV show.
Okay.
Parks and Recreation.
Wow.
Which is a great show.
Well, that's good. I mean, that would be a current National Day calendar item.
That's what it would be. Let's see. You don't care, and neither do I, so let's move on. National Giving Hearts Day. Well, you know, it's the day before Valentine's Day.
But the hearts, little candies.
Yes.
Right?
National Tortellini Day. Do you like tortellini?
Yeah,
you're Italian,
actually.
Right?
Yeah. I am half Italian, half Norwegian.
Sam, do you have anything quickly for the history books? You want to open one up?
Or
check the internet?
Let's...
Oh, it's National Cheddar Day. I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Well, yeah, forget that. Where's
How
the
could
cheddar
you forget
state?
That? Yeah.
Well,
it's a cheddar state.
All right. It's cheese. Do you like it? I don't know. What else can we say?
It's the best kind of cheese.
It's more than cheese. It's the best cheese. We make the best cheese in this state. My God.
All right. Would you like to hear the history of some cheddar cheese?
Yes, I would, actually. Skip the cheddar.
Cheddar first rolled into the village of Cheddar in Somerset, England. See, that's why they named it in the 12th century. While cheddar accounts for more than a third of all the cheese sold in the U.S., it's a royal hit in the U.K. where it was created. In fact, more than half of the cheese sales in the United Kingdom go to cheddar.
Well, I can imagine that. Yes, it's a great tasting cheese.
So celebrate cheddar cheese today. Okay.
remember when Europe and I think even England tried to take possession of all these cheese names and wine names,
right? Yeah,
right? Because you know we were stealing their cities' names,
right,
and making believe that wine was from there. And it's just they wanted to take. I don't know whatever happened with that. Probably nothing
either.
Because we're still using them.
Yeah. There are all kinds of cheddar cheeses.
Yeah.
Sharp, extra sharp, mild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy some cheddar cheese today.
Hey, we're cheddar.
What?
What is it? We're in cheese
this
land.
This is cheese land, yeah.
Okay. We'll get into the history book with Sam momentarily on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning, broadcasting from the capital city, Madison, overlooking State Street, snow-covered State Street.
Yeah, we didn't get to the weather yet. It's 8 degrees currently. And
high of 15 today, right? I'm just predicting it. That's all.
That's what you thought?
My bones say 15.
Okay.
Should we check out the bar dice?
Sure. Do we have the bar dice?
We don't have the bar dice.
Ah, that's right.
We lost
what
them.
What happened to the bar dice?
Well, they're the smallest thing, so they're easy to lose.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not easy keeping those dice around, or die, as they call it.
Do you have the roulette wheel?
Yeah, that's a big machine. You can't lose that.
Okay.
No, it's heavy.
Let's give that a spin.
Let's see what the afternoon high might be. You said 15, right?
15 is my prediction. My bones
say 15. Let's
see if it's
going to get in close. Oh, no, it's 13. Sorry.
Ah!
Sorry. You lose.
Man.
Okay. Let's open a history book or dial up the internet and see what's happening.
My lungs need a break after yesterday, so we're gonna dial up the electronic version.
Okay. All right. By the way, are we running Fritz Lang's Metropolis as we speak? It's a silent version. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna run the silent movie today. That's right. What do we got in the history books?
That's what I was going to ask you.
So you know the U.S. Bill of Rights?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, the U.S. Bill of Rights is based off of the English Bill of Rights.
What?
Yeah, which is based off of the Declaration of Right, which on this day in 1689 was adopted by Parliament and the new monarchs on the British throne. William and Mary, I believe, during the Glorious Revolution.
Wow. Yeah.
The Glorious Revolution.
Yes.
The Glorious Revolution, because it was a bloodless revolution. Huh. Nobody got killed when these two got put on the throne, which is good.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Wonder if any of those rights still exist for any of us.
No, not anymore.
Here?
No.
Yes, here.
They're going away here.
I don't know.
Okay. Next.
Today in 1895... Next. Yeah. Yeah. You don't care about this at
no,
all.
I
do
don't
you?
Really. No.
Wow.
I'm going to take a nap.
That's pretty brutal, man.
Okay. Go ahead.
You were intrigued by this before the start of the show, so I know you're at least a little interested. Today in 1895, the Lumiere brothers, have you heard of them?
The Lumiere brothers.
Yeah.
No.
What a name, the Light
Great
brothers.
Name.
It means light in
French. I know why you selected this one.
Yeah. Well, today, the Lumiere brothers patented their... cinematograph, I think that's how you pronounced it, which is the very first real movie projector.
Hmm. Do you have that?
No. I know a guy who collects like really, really old stuff. He's probably got parts to one.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to this invention, if you wanted to watch a motion picture, you watched it on like an individual viewer. Mm-hmm. Edison and his team developed those in the United States, and then these guys over in France. They kind of threw together the idea of projection, and that's what really took off.
You know, I think you could actually see this, now that I think back on it.
Yeah.
Walt Disney did a little documentary a long time ago. It's, you know, very old, and I just watched it. And they're talking about animation, the progress of animation, but then he goes into the early beginnings of film and movies and projection.
Yeah.
And I believe that this was part of that broadcast. So you could actually see this thing. I think he even demonstrated how it worked. So you should check that out. Walt Disney animation.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Fascinating. What else
we got in the history? Honk shoe.
Well, maybe, you know, my helping somebody go back to sleep today.
Sure.
That's what we do on this program.
I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't want to get up and have to face the snow today.
Yeah, shovel.
Got a couple other things in the history book. Today in 1920, the Negro National League was founded, which was the first successful black baseball league.
Hmm.
1920.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And in 2000... the final Peanuts comic strip hit newspapers.
It was a sad day, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Charles Schulz.
Yeah.
Charles Schulz. I think he died the day before the final strip
good
ran
Lord.
In papers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's awful. And Snoopy died with him.
Yeah.
The whole, sad.
The whole storyline died with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there an overarching storyline?
What did it keep going? Did it
I don't think so. I think they just reprint
something?
It now.
No.
I mean, I read it in the paper when I was a kid if my dad brought a paper home, but I don't think that they were new ones.
I know some of these strips are continued by, you know, their
other people.
Their sons or their daughters.
Artistic helpers or whatever. Remember the days of the Sunday paper where they had comic books in color and stuff? And, you know, that was the big thing when the Sunday paper came out. You'd have the
color
the comic section. Mm-hmm. For the kids.
That was what I read the paper for.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd get out the silly putty and I'd make copies of those cartoons.
Stretch that silly putty
around.
Yeah.
That was great stuff.
Yeah. I think they still make silly putty.
I think they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Did people stop being
miraculous.
Silly?
Well, we remember when it came out in the early 60s. Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
God, you guys are old.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
It was revolutionary.
The thing is, you could, you know, roll it up into a ball and it bounces
bounced.
Really high.
Yeah.
Like a Super Bowl almost.
Yeah.
So it does a whole bunch of different things.
It's been probably 15, 20 years since I played with Silly Putty, so I wouldn't remember.
If you left it out of its little egg container, it would get all weird and liquidy overnight.
The egg container.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was always good. You know, kind of rolled around and, you know.
Right.
It wasn't a great container or something like that.
No.
Yeah. I think The Blob was based on Silly Putty.
The Blob.
The movie.
The movie,
yeah.
The Blob.
You'll never forget The Blob.
Yeah.
Invading a movie theater.
Yes. Right.
It broke through the screen and up the aisle and just came pouring out of the doors.
Right.
Man, that was a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Remember the Slinky? That was another invention of those days.
Invasive invention, yes. It followed you everywhere.
There are,
Down the stairs.
A lot of toys that weren't around before you guys were kids, huh?
Right, yeah.
That's
what
right.
What did kids any older than you do for fun?
Played with wooden blocks and stuff.
it was a sad time. As I always say, these were times before cell phones, and you know I don't want to ever go back to those days.
Okay.
My God, you know, people criticize cell phones, but man, do you realize what we used to do with our hands? We had yo-yos and tops.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, toy garages where we washed the car, you know, we thought we were anyway as a little kid washing a car in a toy garage. My God.
those were the days.
Hyperventilating.
Hey, coming up, we've got the Midwest Farm Report straight ahead, and then we'll talk to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Get educated on the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Old West Exterminators, the only exterminators in town who kill your roaches after giving them guns and allowing the roaches to draw first.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. We got a couple of texts here. I guess a line out of Shucked was, when I was young, we were happy to be born boys, so we had something to play with. We were talking about toys, playing with toys. What we did before we had cell phones.
Right.
Let me just preface it with that.
Yes.
It's a little too late on that anyway.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Slinkies and Silly Putty.
And Mark had a vacuform and a thing maker. I used a vacuform when I went to art college for one of my projects, and I failed. people had creepy crawlers and mini dragon molds and stuff like that where we poured hot
plastic.
Hot plastic. Or cast iron. Melted gas.
Yeah, I didn't have a vacuum form, so
I missed out on that.
Hey, it's time for us to welcome in Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, a podcast that you can catch on our Civic Media app and civicmedia.us. And you do podcasts Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and also Saturday afternoons, a live show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tim, good morning.
I bet Tim is really angry now that the Department of Ed is closed immediately.
Immediately.
That's what Trump said last night?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he wants it done immediately.
Without any approval from Congress, nothing. Just immediately.
No, just immediately. Now, what is Linda McMahon thinking at this moment?
Yeah.
You know, it was last week, you know, she was given the orders to figure out a way to, you know, make herself irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, she's sitting down strategically planning last week how she's going to, you know, shut herself out of a job. And Trump immediately, I mean, the brilliant mind that he is, says, wait a minute, just do it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, strategic planning. Yeah. Now just do it.
I bet she's angry. She's got that list that she put together, you know, how to make herself irrelevant. And now.
Yeah. I mean, all of the experts that were called in to sit around the table, you know, the government spending on waste.
Oh, yes.
I wonder if that made, you know what, maybe Elon saw the strategic planning of getting rid of the Department of Ed and said, you know what, this is government fraud and waste. We're going to cut this out right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I think that when they use government money to do things, it's efficiency and not waste.
Oh, you mean the Tesla armored vehicle? What was it, $400 million to buy a bunch, a fleet of those things?
Right.
Yeah. I actually have the story later, but
okay.
Screw it. I'm going to tell you now. They displayed, they had a show, you know, they were premiering this armored vehicle. And I don't know why, but some guy threw some rocks on stage into the windows of bulletproof glass.
Right.
And it shattered like crazy.
Wow.
Elon was there on stage with him, and he goes, well, some things need to be improved. What? You have $400 billion contract with the government, and you got to improve the bulletproof glass that shatters with a rock?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, it's bulletproof, not rock.
That's right. I didn't think of that.
Jeez. Come on, give the guy a break.
Oh, I know. You know, you had a really interesting guest on your podcast, Nancy Carlson Page. Mm-hmm. That was a hot discussion. she really let loose, you know, about reading and the science, the science of reading, right?
Yeah. She's, again, great. We love
She is great. Man.
Yeah. That's Matt Damon's mom, too, just in case. She does a side gig.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
But you have the science of reading. And in fact, though, too, what she pointed out, and, you know, what got her on the show is that her and another colleague wrote an op-ed piece in the Boston Globe, because in Massachusetts, there's a class action lawsuit of parents suing curriculum makers for using reading methods that are supposedly not scientific and contributed to the decline in reading. And so therefore these families with, I'm assuming, children that, you know, have no ability to read now in their adulthood, they need monetary compensation from the curriculum makers, the teachers, the leaders, the theoreticians that made their kids unable to read because, you know, they weren't using the science of reading.
So there's a lawsuit trying to recover?
Yeah. There's actually, in fact, that's what Nancy was talking about. So parents, you know, are saying, you know what, my kid can't read. Has nothing to do with the fact that we never showed them a book or took them to see Sesame Street, or that we, you know, didn't do the things that we're supposed to do as parents.
Yeah.
It was bad curriculum and teachers that just were never trained on the science of reading. And yeah, there's a lawsuit, and that's what got Nancy going on this. And, you know, we've been pushing forward this, the idea, science of reading. And this word science is not the word that we're used to going like, oh, so they must mean factual.
Right.
No.
A lot of research.
Science of reading. Yeah. The science of reading people said, no, science is a marketing term. Let's use it.
Okay. Yeah,
that's really the bottom line. It's just a marketing term. It's not science at all. No research, no nothing. And your discussion. Hey. What? Your discussion.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Well, your discussion basically said that you know, it's a right wing thought of marketing term, right?
Yeah. It really is, and you know, that's where Nancy really helped us get deep into this. Yeah. Is to say, you know, there's the surface level that sounds like there's this argument about what reading curriculum maybe works better or not, and things like that, and people get hung up on that. But when you realize the science of readings, the intention behind the movement, which across multiple states, the state that I'm currently in right now in Ohio, and I think we talked about this, if you are in teacher education, in other words, teaching future teachers to be ready to be a teacher, if you're not using the science of reading, you're an outlaw. And that you can be brought up on charges. And And so you said there's a movement and there's a lot of money there. And so you start asking, well, what's in the science of reading curriculum?
Yeah.
And actually there's a, you know, when I say this, there's nothing in it. And in fact, that, but that's the intention behind it, mm-hmm. is that it's sterile. It's contentless. And when you look at book bans and things that are occurring across the country, yes. where you can't read this book, that's the science of reading, people with the intentions that say, look, right or left wing indoctrination by teachers, by universities, has to end. And the simplest way to end it is to deny the curriculum, the content. And so anything that is suspected of woke ideology, you know, genderizing and things like that. So, you know, the books that we, you're talking about, Old Toys. All, think of all of the books now that kids are not allowed to read.
Oh, yes.
And you ask the question of going, why are they not allowed to read? If we want kids to learn to read, one of the ways you do that is find out what they like and you let them read the things they like, because liking reading and doing more reading makes reading better for all.
Right.
But here So while it can sometimes sound like, well, geez, they're just concerned about helping kids learn to read. Actually, no, they're not. They're actually concerned about controlling what kids read.
Wow.
You know, Sam, and I'm wondering if you get a sense of what I'm talking about here in your future dream of being a teacher.
Well,
or if I'm shattering that dream every Thursday,
every week,
we're killing it every day.
Luckily, I'm not going to school to become an early education teacher where I'm going to have to be teaching kids how to read. But being a history teacher ain't that far off if you're looking at certain sources that certain people may not want kids looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm hoping that I won't have to run into this problem.
Yeah.
You know what, though? But Sam just said, though, too, is recognizing that what Nancy was talking about, mm-hmm. is that, yeah, even the censoring of history, this is all, mm-hmm. connected. The science of reading, the right wing attack on education, yeah. the attack on woke, the attack on critical race theory, the attack, those are all part of the same movement of President Trump wanting the department closed immediately. It's all put together in a big movement. And no, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just know that when lots of people coordinated working together for one goal, that's a movement of oppression.
Mm-hmm. It's 6:45. We're talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. You can join the conversation, 608-879-8255. 608-879-TALK, or just download the free Civic Media app and you can get right to us with a text or a call. Let me also mention this portion of the show is brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business in Southeast Wisconsin and taking care of the southern part of the state with lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. They do residential services, also commercial services. And they've been in business, again, 65 years. You can find out all kinds of information by going to davidjfrank.com. That's davidjfrank.com.
All right, Tim, I have a story. My son told me this. He's my older son, 25 years old. No, 26 now. And he actually, you really made a good point about limiting what you can read, and that's the science of reading. You can't read a lot of different things. He learned about the Holocaust in English class.
Oh.
Because they brought that in as a reading assignment, and the history of Germany in English class. So this is an attempt to, again, limit what people can read and have an extended format for reading.
Exactly. And so go back to the original thing that Nancy was writing about. We have now weaponized parents, and understand who's behind the lawsuits. This isn't, you know, a couple parents, oh my God, my kid can't read, somebody must pay. Mm-hmm. They were found, solicited, and picked by a right-wing movement that said, let's take this to the courts because this is going to make a spectacle. And this is part of our marketing strategy.
Yeah.
This is marketing. And understand that while science itself, the term is a marketing term, this is all part of a marketing movement to create this sense with families of going, something's wrong. Oh my God, I don't want that to happen to my kid. And you end up having a lot of people, our own neighbors, who literally are acting from a good place in their heart to say, well, we need great reading teaching going on. And they get behind that movement. Yeah. And they don't realize they're involved in a movement to suppress critical reading, understanding the current situation.
Well, I hope that message is getting out on the show this morning. One of the things, and I felt a warm, I don't know, feeling when you guys brought up the Berenstain Bears. I mean, it was just one of those books I brought my kids up on. You know, they were simple, easy books to read. And boy, did I make up stories within those stories, because it's that easy to read for you. You know, as a parent, you can keep changing the ending or what happens in the middle of the book. And they learn to read from the Berenstain Bears.
So. I think what was even more fun about the Berenstain Bears was to now know that when, you know, we run into Matt, we can tease him that he was a Berenstain Bear reader.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, sorry, Matt, your mom gave us the skinny dude. Yeah. You were reading Berenstain Bear books, man. Sorry about that, you know.
Yeah.
Jason Bourne reading the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, you should get him on your podcast.
Yeah, one of these days. Yeah. Let's get an AI next. All
yes,
right.
We'll do that after a brief time out here. We're talking with Dr. Tim Slecker on John and Gordy in the Morning. Coming right back.
Leslie, you. Early childhood, Ed, did she teach you. Matt Damon's mom has got it going on. Matt Damon's mom has got it going on. Matt Damon's mom has got it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. 92.7
WMBX. John and Gordy in the morning. We're talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. And off the air, we were talking about, you know, the Scholastic books, Weekly Reader, you know, all the things that we grew up reading, just thinking, oh, this is normal. You know, I found out a lot of stuff in the Weekly Reader, actually.
I forgot about the Weekly Reader. Yes, yeah. That was a big part of it. Yeah. Back then, everybody read that.
Yeah, right now, can you imagine that? You know, what current events would allow to be talked about in your Weekly Reader right now? Yeah. I guess I'd have to go through Elon Musk's Doge.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
Oh.
We got a text from Mark.
Yeah, Mark said, in sixth grade, I got the rise and fall of Adolf Hitler through Scholastic Book Club.
Pleasant bedtime reading.
I think that set Mark off on the trajectory he is on now. So.
Well, see right there. There's the evidence, 100% crystal clear. Look what happened to Mark.
Yes, look what happened.
Somebody should have been restricting his reading.
Yes. Too bad we didn't have the science of reading back then, boy. It sounds awful important, science of reading. Scarlett Johansson urges government to limit AI after fake videos of her opposing Kanye West. Do you see this? It's just an amazing thing. But she came out now against, you know, this freeform AI thing. She wants some regulation. She wants some kind of guardrails put up, even though J.D. Vance appeared at a conference for AI, and he said, we don't need any guardrails. We have to let this thing just grow.
No regulations.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, talk about scary.
Well, you know, I mean, regulations, come on, that's old school. You know, I mean, so you're against progress is what you're saying there, John?
I guess I am. You know, I think we should have some limitations somewhat. I'm thinking somebody in the future is going to come back here and prevent us from doing AI. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, you think about it, though, and I saw this. I mean, the ability and, you know, I was reading another article yesterday that was, again, I recommend anybody follow if you want to really see what's happening on with AI. There's a guy, Ethan Mollick. Ethan Mollick, take his book, you know, Co-Intelligence. But he kind of put out some AI-produced videos. And
yeah,
hold on a minute there. Almost had a sneeze.
You had us all on the edge of our chairs.
I was like, oh. Okay, pushed it away.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Keep your eyes open.
The video production now that comes out of AI is that, you know, they're speculating that there's the possibility that AI video right now, that maybe 2 out of every 10 video scenes that we're seeing in commercials are AI created and we don't know.
Yeah, mixed in.
And that's a, you know, that's a problem, because one of the things we're trying to teach with AI is to say, okay, we're going to use it, but we're also saying to students and faculty and people that are trying to teach that one of the things is to admit out up front, I used AI to help me generate this, you know? And so if you're going to use AI in a commercial, the commercial should come out with some kind of a disclaimer that says this is AI. That's not happening. And I guess those are the kinds of regulations that J.D. Vance would like to see us stopping. But, you know, imagine this, that the ability to take these videos that make people truly, these are truly the era of deep fakes now, deep fakes to the point of saying, Tim, I just saw you and, you know, you and Matt Damon reading Berenstain Bear books together. You know,
right.
It must have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Matt would be real happy to see himself sitting with me reading Berenstain Bear books.
Well, you know, one thing we mentioned last, you know, in the last segment about the reading, the science of reading, and in Wisconsin, they're actually considering that. The Republicans are trying to push the science of reading through. I don't know how that's going exactly. I know there's some money that's tied up, too, that Evers wants to loosen up so we can spend it, and it might go to the science of reading. I don't know if it's a compromise by the Democrats to allow something like this to take place, but it's on the verge of happening in Wisconsin. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah. Well, boy, there's a whole history with Tony Evers that I know he's way better than Scott Walker.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tim Slucker just said it.
All right. But the big but.
But, well, you know, he's, I don't know, he's not, I've not seen him be real pushy on education reforms that are known to be kind of, you know, disruptive to the public school system. Is he doing it because, hey, look, you know, this is the way to free up some money for other curricula? Probably it's a political strategy that makes sense. But understanding that you let the science of reading people in, they are going to actually, you know, really move for a deep control. You know, this is the thing. We're going to compromise with Trump. We're going to compromise with the MAGA. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to compromise
right.
with them.
Right.
So I worry about Wisconsin, you know, saying, well, we're not going to be exclusive, but we're going to let it in. This is something I would really protect against, in saying, no, the discussion about best reading materials comes down to people like Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Dr. So-and-so, fifth grade teacher, Mrs. So-and-so. Those are the people you want deciding what reading materials to teach your kids with.
I think her point was that there's all different ways of getting people to read, and there's not just one. So there's no just science of reading. There's multiple ways to read.
Tim, we need to leave it there. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. You can always catch Busted Pencils podcast Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. They have new editions, and then Saturday afternoons on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Tim was AI generated this morning, just to let everybody know.
We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.